All right, so let's see. This is the 11th, right? Today is the 11th. So I'm going to stick this up here. We have 14 on so far. I'm going to get started. So anyway, for Randy's benefit at least, I mean, Randy over here, well, you can't see what I'm pointing to, but Randy is the person that I read the Quran with. This was, what, about 5 years ago, 6 years? I don't know. It's been
a while ago.
Been a while. And so... That's my sole experience with the Quran, and as I said back the very first week, the smart thing we really did was reading it in presumed chronological order, which I certainly think is the best way to do it. Otherwise, I think it's even more mysterious than it is if you read it in chronological order, or at least a presumed chronological order. There's more than one out there. The one that we used was, as I keep on saying, was the traditional one, the so-called Egyptian chronology. But my sense is that they don't differ a whole lot. So I guess there's a fair amount of agreement. It's the rough order of the surahs. Of course, I sent out my spreadsheet. I gave everybody the spreadsheet, and one of the tabs on there, the second one, I think it was, has the surahs sorted by chronology. And I have other tabs on there with other interesting pieces of information, all sorts of statistics and stuff like that. But anyway, so what we're doing, and I'm just kind of really quickly summarizing for Randy's benefit. I gave a lot of thought over the summer as to the best way to present the Quran. Certainly, I'm not just going to go through surah by surah. That would really get boring really fast. So what I decided, and what struck me at the time that Randy and I were reading it, was all the stuff about the prophets and the various prophets. And so it seems to me, and this is what I've decided, I think, is the central theme, and that's what I want to sort of focus on. The central theme is prophethood. The whole, if you want to call it theory, of prophets is not really a theory. It's more of a recounting of all the prophets that have arisen since the beginning of the world up until Muhammad. You can see that as the central theme in the Quran. Why is that? It's because God is, more than anything else, just. And because God is just, God has certain expectations for human beings. And also jinn, by the way. I didn't mention that. But you got the jinn that are mentioned here and there in the Quran. Well, that's interesting. Well, this one's definitely out of me. The jinn, who are fire creatures, also rational beings. So God has certain expectations for human beings and jinn. And, if you're going to be evaluated on the basis of those expectations, it wouldn't be very fair if you weren't told what those expectations are. Hence the need for prophets. And as I mentioned 3 weeks ago, another name that's used for prophets is messengers. You need messengers. And another name used for prophets / messengers is warners. And I think that one's even more revealing because Muhammad sees himself and others who had preceded him as warners, basically saying to human beings, okay, here's your expectations. Right? Do this and do this. And God's going to, weigh you in the balance. And if you pass, you will be rewarded beyond your wildest expectations. If you fail, you will be so severely punished that you will wish you had never been born. I mean, it's really a black and white sort of thing. It's either heads or tails. There's nothing in between. But, of course, God is just, right? And so it's just to warn people that this is what's going to happen. And it's also just then to, okay, I'm coming back and let's tally things up. You know, I mean, one of the words that is used to describe God is merciful, but God is merciful to those who have, you know, towed the line properly. But those who have not, they are justly punished. God is just more than any other attribute. So we need the warners out there to tell people what is expected of them. And then, as I say, at the end, God then decides whether you pass or you fail, and it's a pass-fail situation, right? And that in turn is also just. So that's what's kind of behind this. So what we're doing is we're going to look at the Quran. I've had like 4 weeks of introduction. I'm still not quite through yet, but we're almost there. We're going to look at the Quran in terms of the idea of prophecy, which comes up over and over and over and over. I spent a long time talking about Muhammad's life, about the various stages and the composition of the Quran. I spent about 45 minutes talking about Arabic just to get across how to properly transliterate these Arabic letters, which I've tried very hard to be accurate in my spelling of any Arabic term. And then at the end of the class last week, we started going through the list of the prophets. And that's where we are in the middle of. And I put back on the board, and I'm going by memory. I'm not sure exactly how far we got. But we were going through the 25 prophets altogether. The first prophet is Adam, of course, up there in the upper left. And the last prophet, obviously, is going to be Muhammad. And we were going through the various Arabic names for these prophets, and I was quizzing you as to what you thought the equivalent, our equivalent is. Some of them are really, really easy and really obvious, like Adam, for example. Others, like Hud or Salih, for example. Well, Salih actually is not so bad, but Shelah is a pretty obscure figure, right? But others are not quite so obvious. So anyway, let me just recap where I think we got to. Maybe Jay, is this? Did you always take notes? Is this where we got to? Do you think, Joseph? Did we get that? We got that far, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Let's just start from the beginning and recap.
Well, we got farther. You mentioned Ayub.
Oh, I got one more. Okay. Yeah. Okay, that's fine.
Ayub, Job. Right. Oh, sorry.
Right, yes, right, yeah. Okay, well, I'll put that up in just a second. But anyway, let's just you know, see where we are. So, Adam, of course, is Adam. No, nothing hard about that. Idris, Enoch, of the very early figures following Adam, the very earliest patriarchs, in the book of Genesis, of course, you remember, they're nothing but names, you know, basically just a bunch of begats, except for Enoch. Enoch, a little more is said about Enoch than all the others, and it said, you know, that he walked with God and he didn't even die, but was translated into heaven directly. One of the very few who was reported to have just, you know, been translated directly to heaven. So we know a little bit more about him. He's a slightly more significant figure, I guess, than the ones surrounding him. Even Methuselah, the only reason that's famous is because he lived so long, but, you know, nothing is said about him. Well, anyway, Idris is Enoch then, and then Nu, the H with a dot under it. By the way, just to remind you, if a letter has got a dot under it, there are five letters. Remember, the Arabic alphabet has 28 letters altogether. They're all consonants. And 16 of them translate directly, or at least are transliterated directly, into our Latin alphabet. You have an aleph, which is represented by an apostrophe, a ghain, which is represented by a backwards apostrophe. You have five aspirated consonants with H's following them, and then you have five with dots under them, and that always indicates the formation of the sound is farther back in toward your throat than it is normally. So an H is just an ordinary H, just like us, but an H with a dot comes from farther back. Anyway, so
lots of lots of vowels in there.
Well, you have six vowels, of course, three short and three long of A, I, and U. Wait a minute. So we have new, and that's, and that, yeah, I think we got that. I think we correctly guessed that last week. Is Noah, right? That's new, Noah. And then Hud, you'd never know, is identified with Eber. Now, Eber and Shelah are in, as I remember, now I don't have my Bible down here, but as I remember, it was Genesis 1. I'm sorry, Genesis 11, chapter 11. And obviously they're just names, but oddly enough, they're reversed in the Bible. Shelah is the father of Eber, who is sometimes confused with Heber. And I believe in Luke, maybe there's a reference to Eber, but it's Heber. But anyway, this is Eber. Although Heber, I guess, would be a little closer to Hud, wouldn't it? But anyway, in the Bible, in Genesis 11, Shelah, it comes first, and Eber is his son. Here it's, here they're the other way around. But at least they're juxtaposed, so that's maybe not too far off. By the way, sometimes you find different equivalences for some of these that are not so obvious. But this is the, as far as I can tell, this is sort of the standard pairing. Anyway, we get...
Hey, Don, yeah. Question. I don't think you said last week, I mean, what criteria he used to make the list beyond the obvious ones?
I don't know what the criteria would be. I mean, it's just there. And of course, these are the 25 official prophets. Sometimes it's thought that there had to have been other prophets as well, because, of course, he probably doesn't even know about the Chinese or the Polynesians or, you know, I guess he knew about India, supposedly, I suppose.
Mike, but let's take Lot. Would you consider Lot a prophet in some way? You probably wouldn't.
No, but he was certainly somebody who was on the right side of things, and one might say that in Sodom he was at least telling the people that what they were doing was wrong and that sort of thing, I suppose. I can imagine. Keep in mind, remember, now the stories that Muhammad hears are not the same as the stories we're familiar with. I mean, they're roughly the same, as we'll see in just a few minutes. They're roughly the same. But they are, you know, they have some tweaks in there that are pretty significant differences. So I could well imagine, in fact, let's see, how much is there about Lot coming up? It was quite a bit. So we'll get to that, and we'll see the various, you know, characteristics of what was going on according to the Quran, at least regarding Lot. But don't assume that because there are these identifications that the way or the facts of the lives of these people, as Muhammad understood them, are the same as what we read in the Bible. Okay. But I don't know that there are any hard and fast criteria that are really kind of logical that we can apply here. It's just a fact that these are represented as prophets in the Quran, and that's as far down, I think, as we can take it. Well, anyway, Ibrahim obviously is Abraham. Not a problem there. Lut, or the T with the back in the back of your mouth, is Lot. Okay, fine. Ishmael. Right. Ishak, Isaac. Yahub, Jacob. Right. Yusuf. Joseph. Okay, and then Jay says we got also to Ayub last time as well. So where am I? There we go. And that is Job, as Jay said. But it sounds sort of like Job. Ayub, Job. Okay, good. Now we'll pick up where we left off, and Now, if you get the next one right, I know you've been cheating. Shu'ib. So, anybody know that one?
Shu'ib.
What? Okay, I thought I heard somebody say something. Jethro.
After nobody's going to say anything after you said you were going to be a cheater.
I know. Well, I was expecting though somebody to say Jethro. Shu'ib is Jethro. Now, quiz: who is Jethro?
Sorry, I either think of Beverly Hillbillies.
He's the father-in-law of Moses.
That's right. So that's Shu'ib, who dealt with the. That's when Moses was in Midian, and otherwise referred to in the Quran as the people of the wood. But we'll get there when we get there. Next one. This is an easy one. Probably know what it is already. Who's that?
Moses.
Right. Okay. Let's see here. Next one's not too hard either. Who's that?
Aaron.
Good. Who do you think that is?
David, right?
And of course, the next one then is going to be obvious.
Solomon.
I can see it.
Can you see it okay?
No.
Oh, is it too high? Well, then you...
That's better.
Now, can you see the top, though? Wait a minute.
Maybe if you go back up to the top.
I can move it back a little bit. Is that okay? Anyway. That says shoot. Well, shoot. I'll move it back, although it's not as good if it's back, right? Now, can you see everything?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty, and let's see now. We're down to the final group. Oops. Elias.
Elijah,
yeah. And then the next one's going to be easy then, because of that. Elyasa.
Elisha.
Okay, and the next one, oh yeah, this is a good one.
Jonas.
That's right. I think I heard somebody say Jonah. If somebody said that, that's correct. And then, this is going to be a tough one, but maybe you can get it. Oops. Hard time even writing it. Zul Heifli. The key is the Z.
Zechariah?
What was that again?
Zechariah?
No. Well, that's a good try, but no.
Ezekiel?
Yes, Ezekiel. Mm. I guess maybe I should have said the Z and the L, maybe. Now, we should have 21 at this point. I sure hope we do. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. Aha! Very good. All right, now we pick up, Bonnie, with... I'll put it down here. I don't know if I remember right. Good. And then we have... Yahya.
Are we up to John the Baptist yet?
That's it. Right? And then...
Our two finalists, right?
Yeah. Who's this?
Well, that must be Jesus,
right? It is. Yeah. Isa...
Yeah, the one who comes after me.
Right. And then, of course, number 26. Muhammad himself. And that's our 25th prophet. So, as you can see, if these equivalences hold up, and, you know, most of them are reasonably obvious, but of course there are some that, as I say, you find some other things out there, but I think I've got the standard ones. But if you count them up, of the 25 prophets, then, here they all are, well, I should take a picture of this, you know, of the 25 prophets, 21 are Old Testament figures, 3 are New Testament, and then only one is really non-biblical, and that's the last one, Muhammad. See? So what we're going to do is, what we are about to do, we're finally getting started, we're going to go through all 25. Now, some of them are just mentioned, you know. I mean, about a number of them we have stories, and in some cases very extensive stories. I mean, he has a lot to say about Moses, for example. We'll have a fair amount to say about Adam, as you'll see. And others, sometimes their names just occur in lists. You know, like God has spoken through A, B, C, D, and E, and so-and-so will be number, you know, C or something like that. So there's a huge amount of variability in the amount of detail that's devoted to each of these. But anyway, the major... Well, I won't say that. I was going to say the major figures always have more stories associated with it, but that's not really true. I mean, Shua has got quite a bit. You know, much more... He gets much more attention than Jethro does in the Bible, for example. And we'll see that. Okay. Any questions so far before we jump into Adam?
I just find it interesting that, like, David and Solomon are on this list, mm-hmm. instead of, like, Samuel or Nathan or Jeremiah or Isaiah.
Yeah, that is interesting, isn't it? That kind of goes back to Tom's question, which I don't really have an answer to, and I don't know that there are really any criteria involved in selecting these. My guess is, once again, and I'll just say kind of the same thing again, you know, Muhammad certainly was aware of Judaism was aware of Christianity, because these stories were floating around. They were floating around in, you know, Arabia. But, you know, Arabia is kind of like a the boondocks, really. So who knows what which variants? Well, I mean, I think the Quran is evidence of which variants of the stories were floating around. So we can't necessarily assume that.